So finally we come to our last day of the Christmas season, and we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. And many could ask the question, well, if Jesus was the Son of God, the Word through whom all things were made, who became a man and was perfect as the Son of God, obviously he didn't suffer from original sin. So why would he have to be baptized? Well, the answer is that he didn't have to be. He chose to be. And so then that brings up the new question is, then why did he choose that? Well, the answer that everyone seems to come up with is actually twofold. First of all, he wanted to show his willingness to fulfill the mission the Father had given him. And that mission was to take on all of the guilt of our sins and then die on the cross for us and rise from the dead so that we could be forgiven by the Father and could have happiness in this life and eternal happiness in the life to come. And so by undergoing baptism, he showed his willingness to fulfill that mission, to make himself like us in all things except sin. And so he showed his willingness to fulfill the Father's mission. He obeyed the will of the Father. And then it's a great act of humility. Here we have the Son of God, the perfect one, who committed no sins whatsoever, who had created everything that he can see around him at this moment as he stands by the Jordan. And yet he's going to allow another man to baptize him and ostensibly do him a spiritual favor. Great humility. And so he shows us humility, he shows us obedience, and then he shows us how, by undergoing these two things, he shows us how important it is. This sacrament is going to be so important that I myself, who don't even need it, I'm going to undergo it to show you the great importance of this and to give it a great dignity, a super dignity. Because as he was the Son of God and went through baptism, he's showing that we become the sons of God by undergoing baptism. And that's the first effect of the sacrament. And so we have a feast day for the sacrament of communion, Corpus Christi. We have a feast day for confirmation, Pentecost. And today, the baptism of the Lord is the feast day for the sacrament of baptism. So all of our three sacraments of initiation have a great feast day. And so this is the feast day of baptism. We said that the first effect was that it makes us sons and daughters of God. Then, of course, we become heirs to the kingdom because from our parents, we inherit all the goodness they want for us. So we become heirs to the kingdom of God and all the benefits thereof, the resurrection, life everlasting, perfect happiness of heaven. All of that now is a possibility. Then we have original sin removed. And if we're baptized older as adults, even all of our actual sins are removed and any reparation owed for them. So we start off with a perfectly clean slate there if we're adults in baptism. Then we become priests, prophets, and kings with Jesus. Wow. What does that mean? Well, I've talked about it before, that we're also become living cells in the mystical body of Christ with baptism. Those are the five effects. And so we are the mystical body of Christ as we gather here in the church. I, by my ordination to the priesthood, in configured to the head of that body, I lead the prayers and liturgical action of that body, but you are that body. And just as your head does not do things with your hand and feet being present, so you are present when I lead the liturgical prayers of the mystical body of Christ. But we do things as a body, as a person, all together. And so I have the ministerial priesthood configured to the head of the body of Christ, but you also have a part of the priesthood of Christ through baptism. And so what is a priest? What, by definition, what does he do? He offers sacrifice. And that's why we call our liturgical leaders in the Catholic Church priests because we offer the sacrifice of Christ. First, we offer the bread and the wine. They become the body and blood of Christ. And then we offer Christ just as he did on the cross himself. We offer him to the Father anew for us. And so we offer sacrifice. So as I am offering the bread and the wine and the body and blood of Christ, you offer your good deeds, your sacrifices, and those things that you have done throughout the week. And that's why we have the offertory procession that comes through the church to remind us at this moment, oh, I need to be thinking about my sacrifices, my good deeds, and I need to spiritually place them on the paten. So when Father offers up the bread and the wine, they go together with that through the sacrifice of Christ to the altar of the Father in heaven and be there converted into graces and merits for my salvation. And so that's what converts our good works when we offer them in a state of grace through the Mass, become meritorious works as they go now attached to the sacrifice of Christ. They become meritorious for our salvation. And that's the fundamental reason why we're here. So that we can earn merits for heaven. Of course, we're here also to praise God and thank Him for all the good things that He gives us. But we're also here to earn merits for heaven, to exercise our priesthood of baptism and make our sacrifices and our good deeds meritorious for our eternal salvation. And so that's what our baptism allows us to do. And so we see all of a sudden this beautiful connection. Jesus undergoes baptism to show us that we're going to become sons of God just as He is a Son of God. We just read in the collect before we started the readings how it asks us to make that prayer that we all become acceptable to the Father as the Father's voice came down after His baptism and said, "Behold, this is my beloved Son." That God would be able to say that about all of us. And so baptism also, in addition to these five things that I just mentioned, now our souls become receptacles of grace. Grace, that supernatural gift of God that allows us to do all the good that we should do. Okay, so now our souls become receptacles for that grace. That's why we need baptism before any of the other sacraments. Because before baptism, our soul is like a sieve. Grace goes in and flows out. It doesn't stay with us. Baptism transforms our soul from a sieve to a container. It can now hold grace. And when we commit mortal sins, we bust holes in that. And the grace goes out. And so we have to go to confession, get it patched up, so it'll hold grace again. So that's what we call the state of grace. When our soul is receptive and able to hold and maintain grace. And so after baptism, it is until we commit mortal sin. And then we have to get it fixed in confession. But also, grace is something we have to seek. It's something we have to voluntarily cooperate with. And we can cause ourselves not to receive graces. So we can put a lid on that container by our negligence, by our hardness and coldness of heart, by our distance that we maintain away from God, by not praying and developing a relationship. We can cover our soul and prevent it from receiving grace. And so we don't want to do that. So we want to keep our souls open, receptive to grace. If we got holes in there for mortal sin, we want to get those patched up. You know, sometimes even venial sins can block the entry a little bit and prevent the graces from flowing and coming in the way they should. So we confess those as well. And then we live in that grace that God desires for us. And then we make ourselves eligible for all the wonderful gifts He wants for us, for the wonderful happiness He wants for us in this life, and the eternal happiness He wants for us forever in heaven. So those are the wonders of our baptism, the joy and the glory that God wants for us.